Hello, this is Pastor Henry welcoming you to another weekend message. Hard to believe this is the last weekend in May. I trust you were able to do something memorable this past Memorial Day. We're planning on coming back together for worship as soon as we possibly can. We are hoping that we can meet together the first Sunday in June. Once we have more definitive information, we will pass the word along to all of the Grove Park Chapel family. In the meantime, we are praying for your protection and safety. If you have your Bible, today we will be looking at Matthew chapter 6. The title of the message is A Practical Prayer Pattern. Imagine what it must have been like to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here on earth. If you had been one of his disciples, what would have impressed you the most, do you think? I know that's a hard question to answer. You would have seen the dead raised, the lame walk, the blind receive sight, the sick and the infirm return to health. You would have witnessed one of your own walking on the water, a young boy's meal being stretched far enough to feed over 5,000 mouths with 12 baskets of leftovers, and a violent storm stopped with just a word. You would have marveled when you watched people who were demon-possessed be exorcised as the demons acknowledged who Jesus was on their way out of their victims. What must it have been like to hear the tremendous yet radical teachings uttered by the Lord? Love your enemies? If someone strikes you on the cheek, offer them the other cheek. If someone takes away your cloak, offer him your tunic as well. Before Abraham was, I am. There was one recurring theme that we would have picked up on by just being around the Lord, and that was his emphasis on his Heavenly Father. At least 50 times in the Gospels, Jesus refers to God as his Father. It was obvious that Jesus was involved in communicating with his Father all throughout his ministry. In fact, he even prayed to his Father. Now, why would God need to pray to God? Not only that, but he instructed his disciples on how to pray to the Father. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and see what those instructions are. The first part of the instructions are actually telling his listeners what not to do. In verses 5 through 7, Jesus says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." So when we pray, we should not do it to be seen or recognized by other people. We are not doing it to gain recognition from men, because if we are, that is the recognition we will receive, and not recognition from God. The next prohibition in prayer the Lord mentions is to not use vain repetitions. We are not to be verbose or to utter just empty words. The length of a prayer has no correlation to its effectiveness. After stating these prohibitions in prayer, the Lord makes a very interesting statement in Matthew 6:8. "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." Here Jesus is making a distinction between his Father and the gods the heathen pray to. When he says, "Don't be like them," he is referring to the heathen he mentioned in the previous verse, verse 7. The God he and his followers pray to already knows the needs they have before they utter a word. That is very comforting to know. That can't be said about the gods the heathen prays to, because those gods don't exist. Just after stating that God already knows what his followers need before they pray, Jesus gives his followers a practical pattern for praying. That means we are still to pray. Even though God knows what we need before we ask, we're still to pray. The next few verses, verses 9 through 13, are commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. What they really set forth is a practical prayer pattern for the Lord's followers. What was Jesus doing when he was praying to his Father? What are we doing when we go to God in prayer? Jesus was, and we are, acknowledging God when we pray. We are showing our total dependence upon God when we commune with him in prayer. This prayer pattern that Jesus sets forth here in the text before us acknowledges four things about God. Let's read these familiar verses, starting in Matthew 6, verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This practical prayer pattern, first of all, acknowledges God's position, Our Father. That is a most honored title. What a privilege to call God our Father. He knows and loves us. It is a position of authority and respect. If God's law requires us to honor our father and mother, then it goes without saying the honor that is due our Heavenly Father. And speaking of heaven, that is where our God dwells. The title Father denotes his position, but his dwelling place also points out the supremacy of that position. There is only one God, and he dwells in heaven. We are also to remember that his name is hallowed or holy. God's name is who he is. So when we pray to our God, we acknowledge his position through his title and his location. The second part of the practical prayer pattern our Lord left us acknowledges God's plan. God has a plan that includes a coming kingdom. We know from a vast amount of both Old Testament and New Testament passages that God will establish a millennial kingdom on the earth and ultimately an eternal kingdom in New Jerusalem. Our prayer should reflect that hope that we possess. The Father has a will or a plan for this earth and its inhabitants. That plan is being carried out. Unfortunately, a fallen human race does not want to willingly cooperate with God and his plan. It will not thwart God, but it is a far cry from how his will or plan is being carried out in heaven. Our prayer should reflect our desire to be compliant to what the Lord wants to achieve here on earth. We know he sent his Son to redeem the world and to establish said kingdom, so our prayer life should at least be focusing on those two things. The third part of the practical prayer pattern our Lord left us acknowledges God's provision. And that provision is both in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. Our daily bread speaks to the physical provision. When the nation Israel was in the wilderness, the Lord literally gave them daily bread called manna. He provided it every morning and enough on the day before the Sabbath for 2 days so that they wouldn't have to collect manna on the Sabbath. Jesus, on a couple of occasions, fed thousands of people at one sitting. Notice that it is daily bread. We need to focus on what is at hand today and not what is days, weeks, or months down the road. Part of our prayer life should be thanksgiving to God for all of his material provisions. The other part of God's provision is what he provides in the spiritual realm. In this prayer pattern, Jesus instructs his followers to pray for forgiveness. We know that our forgiveness is only made possible by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will sin as we go through life, but because of what Jesus has accomplished, we receive forgiveness if we confess our sins. Furthermore, because Jesus forgives us, we in turn are implored to forgive others. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says that if you're going to make an offering and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering and first go and be reconciled to your brother before returning to make your offering. That's in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. When we pray, we need to examine ourselves to see if there is something between God and us or between some other people and us. The last part of this prayer pattern acknowledges God's protection. We are to ask God to direct our paths. We know there is a spiritual warfare going on, and our enemy, Satan, would love to minimize our influence for Christ in this world. We need to seek our Father's protection from the evil one and all his schemes. We are living in an age and in a culture where we are calling evil good and good evil. The last few days, we have witnessed some terrible events happening in Minneapolis and in other cities around our country. The death of one man has sparked riots that have destroyed property and led to looting and violence. Many have said that the reaction to the man's death justifies the lawlessness that has ensued. We need to ask God for the discernment to be able to differentiate what his plan is from what the world system is telling us is right. The prayer pattern ends with ascribing to God what is rightfully his. His is the kingdom. After all, he created everything, so he owns everything. He will be king in the future, just as he has been king from eternity past. His is the power. He has all power to do with as he pleases. There is nothing or no one who can thwart God the Almighty. He does have the power to thwart anyone and everyone who rebels against him. His is the glory, unlike anyone else's. Mere mortals cannot stand in his presence because of his radiant glory. The new city, the new Jerusalem, will not need any external light source. God's glory will illuminate it. And yes, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But what does the last part of that verse say in Philippians 4:11? Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ, God the Son, acknowledged God the Father continuously while here on earth. One of the ways he did that was through prayer. He wants us to do the same thing. The prayer pattern Jesus left us tells us to acknowledge God for his position. He is our Father who dwells in heaven. For his plan, he is building his kingdom. For his provision, physically he provides us our daily bread, and spiritually he provides our forgiveness. And we acknowledge his protection. He protects us from the evil one and his schemes. When we pray, let's remember to acknowledge God in these areas. May God bless you until we meet again.